It is indeed an honor for me to be with you. I've never been here before in my life. I've never met you before. But what an encouragement it is to meet new family members, brothers and sisters that you didn't know that you had. And I appreciate the opportunity to be with you in Bible class time together today and for sure at this hour as well. I want to bring you greetings from Anchor Point, Alaska. I bring you greetings from Majunga, Madagascar. I bring you greetings from Franklin, Tennessee, the international home of World Christian Broadcasting. You've helped our work, and I've come to thank you. And I encourage you to pray about our work as we think about covering the entire world with the gospel. I mentioned in the Bible class time, while we are together today, the entire world is going to be covered with the good news about Jesus through radio. Using shortwave radio, we're able to cover the entire world. And I hope that pleases everybody in the room, that while we are here, that the gospel is being preached literally to the entire world. I'm really glad to be with you today, and I appreciate our time together. Let's have a Bible check. Hold them up. No songbooks, please. No songbooks. I see one or two iPads or iPhones. Those are unspiritual, but we'll let you use those if you'd like to use those this morning. And turn to the passage that was read to you just a moment ago. We're going to spend our entire time on this one page of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28. As you turn to that passage and someone brings up Matthew 28, you always think about the Great Commission. And we'll get there by the end of our lesson time. But Matthew 28 has much, much more to offer to us than just the Great Commission part of it. And Matthew 28 is Resurrection Sunday morning. Is anybody in this room thankful for what happened on that Sunday morning? Without that Sunday morning, we're in bad shape. If Jesus is still in the tomb, we're in bad shape. But he's not in the tomb. Resurrection Sunday morning is good, good news for all of us. A lot of things happened on this particular Sunday morning. You had the angel being there. You had the guards being there. You had the earthquake. You had the stone that was rolled to the side. You had the two women that came to the sepulcher. And you had the body of Jesus that was not there. A lot of things happened in Resurrection Sunday morning. I want you to remember four key words from this passage of Scripture. I think it summarizes Resurrection Sunday morning. I think it also summarizes the message that you and I need to be telling the world about our Lord Jesus. I don't know if you noticed those four key words. I want you to, if you're so inclined, to circle these four words, key words in your Bible, or at least make a notice of these particular things, maybe on a piece of paper. In Matthew 28, I want you to begin to focus with me in verse number 5. Verse number 5, the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Let's stop right there for a second. 365 times in Scripture, the Bible has something to say about not being afraid. In Cambridge, Ohio, how many typical days do y'all have in a typical year? Oh, about 365. Could it be that the Lord would know that you and I would need reminders every now and then not to be afraid? We're going to be okay. I may not like everything going on around me, but we're going to be okay. And I'll tell you why by the end of the lesson today. In Matthew chapter 28, the angels told the women, "Do not be afraid." And God wants you and me to be people that are not afraid as we try to serve him. He then announced to these ladies that Jesus wasn't there, that he had been risen as he said. And then comes the four key words I want you to use to remember this passage of Scripture and to remember this sermon today. Read with me in your Bibles as we continue in verse 6. "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him." Did you see the four key words in the passage? It summarizes Resurrection Sunday morning. It's also a picture for you and for me to take personally the message of Jesus. The four key words, come, see, go, and tell. Did you see those four key words in the Scripture? Come, see, go, and tell. Let's talk about the four key words for a few minutes. The word come is an interesting word. I want to use that word this morning to state to me and you that we serve a God who is an invitational God. We serve a God who is always inviting people to come to him. It's been what he's been all about since day one. If you remember, he invited Adam and Eve to follow him. But they had other plans, didn't they? They had another way they wanted to live besides the way that the Lord wanted them to live. God has always been inviting people to come to him. Abraham, God invited him to come and to follow him and go to a place he didn't even know where it was. But he followed the Lord's lead, and he gave in to the Lord's wishes, and he followed him. Can you quote this verse with me in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, you'll find rest to your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want you to realize that God has always been inviting people to come to him. It doesn't take an aisle to come to the Lord. It doesn't take a building to come to the Lord. You and I can come to the Lord anytime, day and night, no matter where we are. In fact, let's get something real straight. You did not all of a sudden come into the presence of God when you came through the double doors this morning. You did not all of a sudden come into the presence of God when you came through the double doors. You live every day in the presence of God. You don't go to church. You are church. And there's a difference in those two things. I'd rather go to church, because then what could I do? I could leave church. But if I am church, it means I never get out of church. I said that in a sermon a few weeks ago, and there was a young girl about 12 or 13 sitting about where you were sitting. And she heard me say, you never get out of church. And she went, oh, just thinking about not getting out of church. Folks, you don't go to church. You are church. This is just a building. God does not live in this building. If we learned anything at all during COVID, is that God doesn't live in a building. We can draw near to him anywhere and everywhere we are because we live in his presence. Let me ask you a question. This means yes, this means no. Not trying to be funny. Is it scary to you to know that you live every day in the presence of God? Is that scary or is that good news? This means it's good news. Is it good news to you? You don't go to church. Brothers, have you ever been in this lobby and you wanted to tell a brother a joke that you heard during the week and you thought, oh, I can't tell that joke, I'm in church. Well, if you are church and you told that joke anywhere, where did you tell it? You told it in church. Ladies, if you looked in your wardrobe on Sunday morning and you picked out a dress and you thought, oh, I can't wear that because I'm going to church. Well, if you are church and you wore that dress anywhere, where did you wear it? You see what I'm saying? You don't go to church. You are church. And you can come to God any time of the day or night. We live in the very, very presence of God. That key word is really, really interesting, the word come. We serve an invitational God. I don't know where you are in your journey with God. You may need to come to the Lord this morning and be baptized into Christ. You may need to come back to the Lord. If you think about the prophets when they were teaching, they were trying to get people to come back to the Lord. Don't know where you are in your journey, but that word come is really an important word. It reminds every one of us that we can always come and come back to the God of heaven. Second key word, come and see. The second key word is the word see. God invites you and me to come to him, but he doesn't invite us to keep our eyes closed. He invites us to come in and see the evidence that is there, that Jesus really is the Son of God. Look at this particular chapter. I've often said, and I bet John has too, that the tomb was empty. The truth is, it wasn't empty. It was full of all kinds of evidence that Jesus was raised. If you look back and just kind of glance over verses 1 through verse 5, in this particular scene, you've got the earthquake that took place. You've got the angels that are there. You've got the women that are there. You've got the soldiers that are there. You got that stone being rolled to the side. And then you look inside the tomb and you see the clothing. If you look at the Greek text in this particular passage and the other gospels that talk about this scene, it is though as if they had wrapped the body of Jesus in linen cloth. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, it just kind of settled on the rock that he was laying on. The clothing was there. And to the side was a napkin that was folded. I heard a tradition of the Jewish people a few weeks ago that pertains to this napkin. When they were having a meal together with folks, and when they finished the meal, they would take the napkin and fold it and lay it to the side, and that says, I'm finished. not going to eat anymore. Not coming back here. I'm finished. Could it be that the Lord was sending us a message with that napkin? That he's raised and he's not coming back anymore to live on the earth after his ascension to heaven. What about that stone that was rolled to the side? Anybody ever been to the Garland Road Church in Dallas, Texas? Anyone by chance? They've got a baptistry about twice the size as yours. And it's down floor level. And they've got a big round rock in front of that opening. And when they have a baptism, they roll that stone to the side. It's pretty impressive. It gives you a couple little chill bumps when you see that stone being rolled to the side, representing the resurrection that you and I now have as a new body in Christ. The evidence is there. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you? Could I talk you out of it? How strong is your belief that Jesus is God's Son? I think we can know it to be true. I think the evidence that is there. God invites us to come to him, and he invites us to see the evidence that is there. When you talk to your neighbors and friends about Jesus, there is sufficient evidence for them to believe in the God of heaven and for them to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Come and see the evidence that is there. And then that third key word that he mentions in verse number 7, go quickly. The word go, I want you to circle that word in your Bible. You and I have a message that the world needs to hear, true or false. Let me ask that again. The world has a message that they need to hear, true or false. That's true. We know the message that they need to hear, the message of hope. There are more people that will worship today in secret than will get to worship in public. Think about that for a moment and how blessed we are to be able to worship in public like this. There'll be more people that will worship in quiet today, in secret, in North Korea. There will be people centered around a shortwave radio this morning hearing a message of hope and encouragement. And they won't get to sing out loud. They might sing with a whisper. Or they might even not have to do a whisper even. They might even sing that song within their mind, within their heart. We live in a very serious time. We live in a time when many, many people live in countries where persecution is a daily issue. For those who weren't here during the Bible class time, I told the class about a 2-month-old baby boy that was arrested a few weeks ago in North Korea. The baby boy was arrested along with his parents, and they were sentenced to life in prison in a concentration camp because they were found to have a Bible. One of the ways it's encouraged people that live in places like that is to maybe put the Bible on a thumb drive and then throw your thumb drive out in the yard, because if you're caught with it, you're in big trouble. The North Korean government, if you try to find out about Jesus using the internet, the North Korea government monitors that and can trace it to your front door, and you're in trouble. If you use a mobile device to find out about Jesus, they can trace that to your front door, and you're in big trouble. Is anybody getting the idea that we are blessed to be able to do what we're doing this morning without fear of somebody coming in the door and hurting us? Come, see the evidence that is there, and go with a message. If I told you that I knew the cure for cancer, and I didn't tell anybody, what would you think about me? You would be truthful about me, too. I would be a scoundrel if I had the knowledge about cancer. Come, see, go, and the word tell. You and I have got a message that the world needs to hear. I want you to take this lesson very, very personal. There are people that God has put in our life that you and I need to tell the story about Jesus. There are people that we encounter every day that's interested in finding out about Jesus. If we just would take the time to find out that need that's in people's hearts. It may be the one that sells you stamps down at the post office. It may be the one that checks you out at the... Don't have a Kroger store here? Nope. Whatever store you go to buy your groceries. It may be the one that checks you out every week. They just might be interested. Maybe it's the one that you play golf with. Maybe it's the one that you walk with every morning. for our young people. I don't know if you still share a locker, but if you still share a locker maybe with somebody that just might be interested in the good news about Jesus. You never know who's listening. You never know who's watching. Somebody thinks you are the greatest person that's ever walked the earth. If you're a grandparent, that tells you who that person might be. You never know who's watching your life. You never know who's listening. When I was a full-time minister in Danville, Kentucky, I had a radio program at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning. I would go out and do it live most of those Sundays. I didn't know he was listening, but after a few weeks, the disc jockey, as I was leaving, said, "Andy, would you baptize me into Christ?" You never know who's listening. You never know who's watching. It may be that ornery neighbor across the back fence who lets their shrubbery get over on your side of the fence. You never know who the Lord just might be sending our way to tell the message about Jesus. I'm going to find out how old you are right quick. Anybody in the room ever heard of the name Gabriel Heater? Anybody? Not one. You just told me how old you are. Gabriel Heater was a war correspondent in World War II. Did you listen to him on the radio or just hear the name? He would come on the news every night, no matter what happened during the war that day, and he would tell the American people what happened in the war that day. And if it was bad news, he would spin it. You know what he came on with every night when he would come on the air? You ever heard that? He would come on the air every night with this phrase, "There's good news in the world tonight." You and I have got better news than Gabriel ever had. You and I have better news than Gabriel Heater ever had. And that Jesus Christ is raised up from the grave. And he's offering his forgiveness of sins of the blood that he shed on the cross. Would you remember those four key words with me? Come, see, go, and tell. Would you say them out loud with me? Come, see, go, and tell. I want you to circle those key words, at least in your heart. It gives us a picture about what God would have us to do and what he would have us to be in our relationship with him. Come to him. There's evidence that is there to see the message, to see the evidence that is there. And then go quickly and tell that message in every opportunity that we just might have. We're finished preaching. I want to do a little meddling. Will you let me do that? Is anybody in the room troubled about what's going on in our world today? Is anybody in the room troubled about what's going on in our own country today? Is anybody bothered with some of the values that are being endorsed today by all kinds of folks? Is anybody troubled about that? It's discouraging, isn't it? Some of the things that's being endorsed today, if you believed those things 20 years ago, what would people say about you? You're crazy. But because it's so popular today, if you don't believe in these things, what will people say about you? You're crazy. We're living at a real, real crazy time. The last couple of years have been hard on the church. COVID has really hurt many congregations, and we ain't got everybody back yet. And sometimes we get really, really discouraged. I want you to realize we're going to be okay. I may not like my political leaders. I may not like the price of my gas. I may not like what's being talked about in our world. I may not like really what's going on, but I want you to hear me. We're going to be okay. The book of Revelation is a book that talks about future, past, present, and future. 15-year-old boy came to his minister one day and he said, I want you to baptize me into Christ. Minister baptized the 15-year-old. After he got out of the baptistry, he was drying off and out here talking. The young 15-year-old boy looked at the minister and said, "I want to study the Bible with you." And the minister said, "That's great. What would you like to study?" And the boy said, "Revelation." And the minister said, "Well, that's not really where I would probably start with a brand new Christian, but if that's what you'd like to do, we'll study Revelation. Tell you what, you go study Revelation for 4 weeks. Come back and tell me what you learned." Revelation is a message about our war with the devil that goes on every day. You and I are at constant war with the old rascal, the devil. He doesn't want you. He just doesn't want God to have you. Revelation is a story to tell us about that daily battle that we have with the rascal, the devil. When you get to the last page of Scripture, the devil is defeated. and you and I are triumphant. When the smoke clears and the dust settles, and when the war with the rascal is over, people standing with Jesus are going to win. Do you believe that? Appreciate your enthusiasm. Do you believe that? We're going to be okay. I may not like what's going on around me. I may not like my tax. I may not like my price of gas. We're going to be okay. Because as long as we're standing with Jesus, we're going to win. 15-year-old boy comes back after 4 weeks. Minister said, "What'd you learn?" He said, "We win." That's what he got out of Revelation. That concept came home to my house a few weeks ago. My grandson plays baseball for Wright State University. And he's in his junior year playing ball over there. During the summer, they played, and his games were on TV. So we got that gizmo on our TV so we could watch those games. Got to watch my grandson, Drew, play ball. My wife and I watched a game one night. Drew went 2 for 4, and his team won. I get home from the office the next day, and my wife said, "Let's watch that game again." She recorded it. So what do good grandparents do? You watch it again. We turned it on again, and we're watching the rerun of the game we watched the day before. I'm sitting there eating ice cream. Drew gets up. He gets 2 strikes on him. He fouled a couple of balls off. I just kept eating my ice cream. I wasn't worried at all. Why? Because I knew he was going to get a hit. Later in the game, his team got behind. I just kept eating ice cream. Why? Because I knew how it was going to turn out. Church, we're going to be okay. Because you and I know how it's going to turn out. One day we're going home. One day we're going. Does that interest anybody in the room? We're going home. When the dust settles, smoke clears, people standing with Jesus are going to win. May God richly bless you and your family. May you come to the Lord and come back to the Lord if there is a need. And may you always look at the evidence that is there to believe very, very strongly in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And then go quickly. And let's tell that message of hope to people that don't have very much hope. And let's encourage them with the message of Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face always shine upon you. And may he give you peace. Let's pray together before we sing. Would you bow with me? Father, thank you for the evidence that is there that your son Jesus was raised. You're almost too good to be true. You're always inviting us to come to you. You're always inviting us to come back to you when there is the need. We're thankful, dear Lord, to know that you love us and you care for us, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Father, help us to tell that message to people that we know that have lost hope, those that need some encouragement. I pray you will bless our signal at World Christian today. Help it to be clear and strong. And I pray for new listeners today. I pray for those boys and girls today that would hear the sweet name of Jesus for the very first time. And I pray for our brothers and sisters in prison in North Korea and in Nigeria and in other places throughout the world. Help us to be thankful. Help us to realize the blessing that you offer to us every day. And we thank you we've been able to come together today and sing out loud and have a Bible in our hands and be able to greet one another warmly as brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity today to meet new family. And I ask your special blessing upon this good church. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you hadn't changed the song number, we're going to sing about a fountain that is free. And it's free to every one of us. And again, I don't know where you are in your journey with God. If you need to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord, we serve a God who is always inviting us to come. If there is a need, would you now make that response public? Would you stand together and let's worship in song?